For Christ our Pasch is sacrificed. Therefore let us feast not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. In name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Reverend Canon, dear faithful, how glorious a day is today. We celebrate the triumphant resurrection of the Lord after his painful and sorrowful passion and death on the cross. After winning his victory over sin and the devil by his sacrificial death on Mount Calvary, he shows that death, that consequence of sin, is no match for him. As he takes back his life and leaves the tomb, as we see in the various gospel accounts, when he rose from the dead, Christ's body was clothed with immortality. He can die no more. Impassibility, he can suffer no more. Agility, he can go from one place to another as he so wills, even passing through closed doors. And lucidity, his body radiates a supernatural light. When the women came to the tomb to anoint the body of our Lord, they were surprised to see the tomb already opened. There they met the angel who announced to them the resurrection. St. Gregory the Great comments on this passage, saying, "They saw him, the angel, clothed in a white garment, for he was herald of the joy of this our great solemnity, and the glistening whiteness of his raiment told of the brightness of this holy festival of ours." "Of ours," said I, "or of his." But if we will speak the truth, we must acknowledge that it is both his and ours. The again rising of our Redeemer is a festival of gladness for us. For us, it bids know that we shall not die forever. And for the angels, also it is a festival of gladness, for it bids them know that we are called to fulfill their number in heaven. See this glad festival then, which is both his and ours. The angel appeared in white raiment, for as the Lord, rising again from the dead, leads us onto the mansions above, he repairs the breaches of the heavenly fatherland. Where the head is, the members are. As Christ is clothed now with immortality, so we also, being faithful to the graces we receive through his holy passion and death, will be clothed with immortality. But as we are the members of Christ, his mystical body, the church, so we must undergo a passion like he did in order to enter into glory. On the day of his entrance into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, a voice was heard from heaven, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." It was in response to the prayer of Christ, "Father, glorify thy name." He knew that the crowds that acclaimed him that day singing Hosanna to the Son of David would a few days later cry out for his death, shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." But it was through his passion and death that he was victorious. By his humility and obedience, he overturned sin brought into the world by the pride and disobedience of our first parents, Adam and Eve. For this, the Church said repeatedly during the Sacred Triduum, "Christ became obedient for us unto death, even to the death of the cross, for which cause God also hath exalted him and hath given him a name which is above all other names." After vanquishing the devil, who conquered us by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, by his own death on the tree of the cross, Christ now claims his trophy of immortality and glory. For this, the Church sings throughout the Easter week, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." rising from the dead on the first day of the week, reminiscent of the first day of creation, by which God established the order of nature. Christ established the order of grace, lifting us to a higher level. As he said, I have come to make all things new. My dear faithful, having passed these 40 days united to Christ, our suffering head, having undergone the purification of penance and conversion, we are renewed and rejoice at Easter. While we celebrate our Lord's triumph, let us not go back to our old ways. St. Augustine says, let us strive that our relaxation may be sober and our freedom holy, holding ourselves carefully aloof from anything like excess, drunkenness, or lechery. Let us try so to keep in our souls their Lenten cleansing, that if our fasting hath left us aught yet unwon, we may still be able to seek it. So don't go back to your old ways. Do not look back like Lot's wife or the murmuring Hebrews during the Exodus. Instead, let us look forward to that promised land of heaven, now opened by Christ to us. Let us rejoice and live in the newness of grace. For Christ our Pasch is sacrificed, therefore let us feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Amen. In name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.